I don't have the ability to tell you what you had for breakfast.
Right, and we don't have the right to make anybody indebted to us.
Thank you very much, Bill. That's very, very helpful.
I'm glad. I hope so, because you've so much to give, and you've given so much. Because if they're not giving you back what you're giving them, move on. You know, I think a lack of self-appreciation for spiritual people is the greatest enemy.
I'm so non-compliant.
Because, you know, we hear enough of our own voice. We need direction. We need direction. Oh, God, do we need direction. It's just one of those dumb psychic guys hanging around the corner looking for work.
You're so silly. You're so silly.
You came along and gave it meaning.
Oh, I love you so much.
That's really sweet. I really got it.
All right, welcome to our show. I'm LaFern Cusack.
I'm Bill Burns. Us.
Yes, featuring us. So, Bill, your trip was successful to the East Coast.
Yes, it was. We're always happy when it's successful.
Yeah.
It gives us a chance to help a lot of people.
Yeah. What are some challenges you face on the East Coast, or do you?
Other than 18 degrees?
Right.
Oh, that...
That?
No, I think people are the same the world over. I just think that certainly on the East Coast in Manchester, there are a lot more spirit releases and there's a lot more spirit interference than there is on the West Coast.
Why is that?
You know, it has greater history.
Oh.
It's been through more. And I think people on the East Coast tend to be open to referring to other people. So if they've had a great experience with a spirit release or something, they tell their friends about it. And those who have similar situations are not reluctant to call. Whereas West Coast people seem to think that they should have it all together, and if they don't, they better keep it quiet or they'll get sent back east. Or something.
Or something like that.
Or something. Who knows?
Right.
But,
I got it all together.
Yeah, we wish. So, that's really, otherwise things are pretty much the same.
You know, I
might mention that we have our nonprofit status.
Yay.
The Personal Responsibility Organization nonprofit. So that was lovely to have happen.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And that's located up there. So what's going on today? What's exciting?
Yeah, well, we have a couple people calling in. Wendy Both, she's a Reiki master, and she's an intuitive as well, and she talks to animals. Yeah, and we have a director, actor, Dwayne Perry. He is on the board of directors for Roby Theater Company, and he just has some career questions, and we're going to see what he's up to as well here in Los Angeles.
Well, that's lovely. What have you been up to?
I've been up to staying grounded and staying out of my way.
I see.
Yeah.
I've been driving you crazy, madam.
Yes. But you know what? It's fun just to see the journey and just to see how far I've come to where, you know, releasing, just like what we were talking about, releasing what I have to do and what needs to be done, and am I making a contribution? Just releasing all of that crap, it's made my life a lot happier.
I'll bet. You know, there's no key for spiritual validation people like staying where your feet are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, staying in the moment, staying where your feet are, is absolutely critical, because the minute we get out of that, we get all these worries and panics and anxieties and get ourselves just transported with craziness. And the minute we're where our feet are, which is the only place you can really have any effect anyway, all that goes away. It's like, bloop. Hi.
Yeah, but I've noticed like a lot of people are raised to worry. And if you're not worrying, then you're not caring, you know. And just a couple of days ago, I realized, you know what? It takes a lot of energy to worry, and I'm too tired.
Yeah, and your day isn't coming back. And you know, I'd like our listeners to try something. Look at the last month. Take out all the worry, fear, and anxiety. And what event would have changed?
Yeah.
Pretty much nothing.
Nothing.
So all that time's been wasted. And your life is no better for it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, stay in the moment. You won't worry nearly as much. And things just seem to work out. I mean, assuming you're doing what's in front of you.
Right, right.
You know, it does help to take care of business. Mm-hmm. But other than that, yeah, I think we waste too much of our lives.
And
what isn't.
And, Bill, you had a lecture this past Sunday at in Los Angeles.
Did.
What did you talk
did.
About?
I terrified them. I talked about taking responsibility for self. I talked about stop blaming people and start looking at our part and things so we can move forward.
Mm.
Stop feeling helpless and powerless because we're not. And looking at those things over which we have no control and being willing to look at what we gained from going through them and what those experiences gave us that we couldn't have gotten any other way.
Mm-hmm.
And about how let's not blame God or other people for things. Let's take a look at what it's giving us and putting us in our own life.
Yeah.
And, you know. Let's get over this blame stuff.
Absolutely.
Blame is blame.
Blame is so lame.
Blame is lame. let's face it, in our lives, there are things and circumstances and people that create events and stuff in our life. But the important thing is, what are we learning from it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's moving us forward? What's making us grow? Let's stop all this, ooh, I hate this, I don't know why I have to go through all this. Well, look at what you're learning from it, and maybe you'll know why. Oh, my God, not that. I'd rather blame my mother or my father.
Right, that's easier.
Yeah. Of course, some of them were nightmares, but that doesn't mean your life has to stop because they were jerks.
No. Yeah.
But
I think people get comfortable.
But that's really what the lecture was around. Yeah.
You find that people are comfortable where they are in that rigmarole of shame and blame and ridicule?
And people like the familiar. They may not like what's going on in their life, but they know how to handle it. So they're very reluctant to move forward for fear that if they move forward, they won't know how to handle things. And they forget that learning how to handle things is a process of going through them. Life is trial and error. Life is discovery. It's not knowing before you get there.
Yeah.
I think we've made far too big a job out of thinking we should be the experts and authority on everything before we've even been there.
Right.
That's a very religious kind of focus, by the way.
Yeah. I
you
was...
know what God wants. What's wrong with you?
I know.
Frankly,
I was
nothing.
Victim of that. You know, I,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, okay, I'm supposed to be perfect. Well, that almost killed me.
I know. And wouldn't it be boring to be perfect? Oh, my heavens.
Yes!
Oh!
So boring to be perfect.
Yeah. And you wouldn't have any friends.
But you know what? My husband thinks I'm perfect, so don't tell him.
Oh, well, you know, in that case, you may be.
Yeah,
only
no.
By comparison. No.
Right.
Right. But I'm delighted he does.
Yeah, me too.
And that's the lovely thing. Is that we can see perfection even where there are areas that might need work. We can see the perfection that's there.
Yes.
And that's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, but we'd be awfully boring people if we were perfect.
Yeah. Because, yeah.
Of course, there are some people that think they're perfect, and they really are boring.
I don't want anything to do with them.
No, nothing. Although, given an opportunity, I'd tell them where maybe they're in error. Oh, you think you are? Well, let's just look at this.
Yeah.
Of course, that's being psychic without a cause.
Well, how does that work for you? Like, you know, you accept all these people that come in, and you have no judgment on them whatsoever. Anyone, like, I came to you and I just spilled up my guts out. Well, you already knew my guts, but it was like, oh my God. And you just take it and you're like, hey, it's okay. You're just being you. How do you manage knowing all of this stuff about people?
By having gone through it. I mean, my life is a cesspool. If anybody read a real biography of my life, they would be appalled and turned away and overwhelmed and angry and stupid and so on. And the reality is nobody can sit across from me in a reading and have been or done anything I haven't been or done, with two exceptions. And I have enough general experience of people to understand the why of things. And it's easy for me to understand how you can get off the track and how something can make sense to you until you see the results. So I can't have any judgment because I've been there, but I can certainly have understanding and be helpful in how to turn that around or benefit from it, which I think is really my contribution to the clients that come.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, I understand that you went there and did that. Now, where do we want to go with it? And how can you use that to help somebody else?
Right. And that's why I like this show. It's 'cause that's what I want to put out. How are we helping people? How are we, you know, moving forward with the language we choose to use instead of a negative language that may pull down your spirit? Let's turn that around, and how can we make that positive?
Oh, absolutely, because, you know, if learning were a matter of knowing the right thing and always doing it, that's not learning. That's doing what you know, but it's not learning.
Mm-hmm.
Learning is discovery, and discovery is trial and error. And my experience is that I often learn more from my mistakes than I ever learned from being right the first time.
Oh, yes.
You know, I mean, if you're right the first time, then you know what works. You know the answer. If you make a mistake, then you learn all of these other things about why it doesn't work and what really isn't helpful and, you know, what you want to repeat and what you don't want to repeat. Some of my mistakes were kind of fun, I must say.
So, yeah.
You know, I'm not against repeating a few of those little items. You know, as they say, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Absolutely.
I think the biggest enemy of growth is self-criticism.
Oh.
It undermines the very thing we're here to do, which is to learn about ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Shut that voice off. Yeah, it
right.
is tragic.
And self-criticism is unnecessary. Just talk to somebody else. They'll judge you for you.
You boy,
know, there's no lack of that crap.
I know. I think I lost a couple more friends this week, too, Bill.
Oh, good.
I was like, yep.
They couldn't keep up with your growth, huh?
Yep. They're like, oh, let's blame LaFern for this now. Okay.
Oh, good. Well, go ahead. I have broad shoulders, and I'm not interested.
But don't you think we have to be careful of who we let into our lives or open up or share our lives with?
Well, you know, I have a rule of thumb. If there's anybody in your life for whom you have to make excuses, rationalizations, or justifications, dump them.
Mm-hmm.
Because people that belong in your life, people you understand and can interact with, and don't do things that make you wrinkle your brow and say, where did that come from? You know, I've learned that if you have to do too much work on satisfying somebody else's demands or keeping somebody in your life, you're wasting your time.
Yeah. That's too much energy.
And they're very good at manipulating you to make you think that they're right.
Yeah. Master manipulators, to where they can spot anyone that they know oh, yeah, oh, she seems nice. I can make my moves.
Yeah, not happening.
Yeah.
Thanks anyway, but go away.
Which goes back
even
to
parents.
Oh.
You know, I think sometimes we have to be very careful. If we're making excuses for our parents' behavior toward us or toward anyone else, then I think we're living a lie.
Yeah. A lot of people say, well, that they're my parents. They're my mom.
I know. That gives them no rights.
Yeah.
The spiritual purpose of being a parent is to learn from the development of your child. And by example, to give the child an opportunity to learn ways of doing things that you found useful or appropriate.
Yeah.
That's the role. You can't mold your child. You can't be responsible for their behavior. You can't discipline a child that won't be disciplined. And judgmental outsiders that say, oh, they must be a terrible parent. Look at the way that child is behaving. Are arrogant asses.
Yes. Yeah.
If you have a problem with the way the child is behaving, try to understand why the parent is trying so hard to work with that child.
Oh, yeah.
Can you discipline the child if it's willing? Can you teach a child if it's willing?
Mm-hmm.
But if parents were so good at controlling their children, why do they turn out different than they thought they would?
Word. Well, Bill,
yeah.
Bill, we have with us a Reiki master, Wendy Both, and intuitive with all the animals around the world. Welcome to the show.
I'm glad to be there.
Tell me, how did you come to this knowledge?
You know, actually, I came to this knowledge, I actually went into a metaphysical store one day. I walked in there, and a intuitive and, psychic was there who started talking to me about my energy and had suggested I see her Reiki master to work, you know, on balancing my energies. And I think 2 days later, I went to her Reiki master. I took level one. And it completely transformed me. I mean, what it did for me, because Reiki level one is all about your healing yourself, right? Healing your childhood wounds and shifting. And so because of that, I decided this is a path I want to continue to take and, pursue this further and see how I can, you know, help others, how it has helped me.
Oh, that's terrific. Do you practice privately? Do you do group? Do you teach?
You know what? I have taught a little bit, but most of them are private, right? So my sessions are sort of a combination of Reiki, intuitive guidance. I communicate with animals, and I do afterlife care or end-of-life care as well. So I started out in an office, but most of my sessions are in people's homes because sometimes sometimes I treat the person, sometimes I treat the animal or vice versa, or, you know, the animal was a catalyst to get me in there to treat the human and vice versa.
Wendy, can you talk about how Reiki and the traumas of your past, how Reiki takes that out, or how you're able to feel like the traumas of the past that may be in someone's body?
Well, for example, because it's different for animals as well, you know, as people. A lot of my animal clients are rescues, right? So I work a lot with pit bulls, for example. And so a lot of my clients will call about behavioral issues or they're not eating or they're aggressive. And so for me to then come in and find out what happened in their past, right, what happened before they got to these forever homes, can usually shift once there's an understanding between the owner and the pet, can shift their behavioral issues in most cases. So to me, you know, being a voice for the animal, for the people, is just to me, it's amazing. And then, you know, with people, it varies. I mean, you know, I like to look sometimes and seeing where the issues are, right? So the right side of the body, which would be control, versus the left side of the body, where is this coming from? And my Reiki sessions are usually the more they talk, the more I hear, the more I get, you know, guidance, and the more I can share. So, it just depends. I get a very, different type of clients that with different needs.
Yeah. And how did you find out you were in an intuitive?
that kind of just started transitioning as I got more immersed into the, you know, the energy world. I started treating maybe my 10th client, I want to say, in an office. And they were asleep, and I started hearing things and feeling things and emotions that weren't my own, and I realized, you know, let me wake up my client and share this information and see if it makes sense to them. And that's kind of how it started transitioning, you know. So the more they started talking, the more I heard. And now my sessions, I never know what the priority is. Sometimes it's Reiki where they're just asleep and that's all they want from me. And sometimes I have a person that comes with a list of questions for me to answer, and then I become more of a you know, intuitive guide or coach for them to help them guide them with what they're going through.
Do you do Reiki at distance with people that are elsewhere?
Yes, I've done that too. Most of them, you know, I combine it, so I do the Reiki from a distance, but also the intuitive guidance as well.
Yeah,
that sounds terrific.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing it?
You know, I've only been doing it, I'm trying to think now, it's I want to say 5 years.
Yeah. It does. About time does fly, doesn't it?
it does fly, yeah. So it's been about 5 years, but I, you know, absolutely love what I do. Don't really care what type of client comes my way or what ability, you know, I have tomorrow or what's taken away. I absolutely just love doing what I do. So I'm open to, you know, what the universe has in store for me.
Yeah, staying where your feet are, right?
That's right.
Absolutely. Yeah, we were talking about that earlier, staying where your feet are as being the only real estate you can really control.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
And, now, do you do hands-on with Reiki or?
Some of them I do. For me, so the way I get my messages, right, is more using my body as a pendulum. At least that's how it's today for me. So a lot of times I'll be standing and I can't necessarily then put my hands on the client always. It just depends on where they are at that moment. But no, I'm able to do it by not necessarily touching them. And this helps me in scenarios where I work with animals, right? So if it's a frightful horse, or I've even worked on a tiger that was in a cage, or if I go to animal shelters where I'm able to sit on the other side, you know, of the fence, and being able to give them Reiki that way is beneficial.
And Wendy, you've been featured in Westlake Malibu's Lifestyle magazine. You have all these people calling you to be on their show. You were just featured on ABC, Ion LA. How does it feel, Wendy, to be like this Reiki master that's getting all, you know, getting more and more recognized?
Well, I absolutely love it. Why? Because I love what I do, and you know, being able to, because a lot of these people don't even know what Reiki is. Like me, 5 years ago, I had no idea what Reiki was either, right? So being able to introduce people to this, you know, to what it is that I do, because some people still think, oh, it's just Reiki, I'm asleep, and then that's it. But it's so much more than that. And being able to offer that and now, you know, have, you know, a wider audience, you know, get an insight into this type of healing.
And when we were talking before, Wendy, we're saying, you know, if you had, I know your career is expanding, but since Bill is here, do you have any questions for him in regards to your career or any question in general?
You know, it's interesting because, you know, the usual question I get asked is, what's your 5-year plan, right?
And then
I usually say, well, I try not to think about the 5-year plan. My 5-year plan is to be happy, but just being open, being in this moment, right, and seeing what the universe brings your way. So being open to whatever that is, because if I started controlling and finding out, you know, it has to be this and it has to be done in 6 months and this is my goal, the way the universe has it usually planned is much better than, you know, we could have imagined it. So I try to say to myself, try not to ask too many questions, just let it all happen. But things, you know, at times I want to know, like, you know, is there anything else that I could possibly do to enhance a different direction or another direction that I'm missing, perhaps?
Well, I don't think that you're missing. I think that one of the things you could do is you'd be extraordinarily good with challenged children and writing. Both of those two things show up very strongly in terms of ways of communicating healing and perspective and growth, which is certainly what you do. You know, you're not just a feel-good Reiki master. You're somebody that wants to help. And those are two areas where your help could be almost indispensable, because you have an intuitive sense of, you know, a physical challenge. You grew up with it. So when you're dealing with children that are facing that emotionally or otherwise, there's a sort of empath connection there for you. So that may be something that develops not too long from now, but you sound like you're doing an excellent job at what you're doing. Sounds terrific.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm feeling lucky. I mean, I'll be able to do this. It's not work for me, so it's what I try to do from my heart. So
That's what everybody's trying to achieve in life.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's that, you know, what is that quote from, what am I thinking of?
Do what you love.
Follow your bliss. Yeah, or follow, what is it again? Follow your bliss and you know, the universe will, you know, provide or something along those lines. Yeah, I mean, it's what I believe in, letting things.
So. Yeah, I find that when I do what I love to do, it doesn't matter how successful I am. I'm fulfilled and happy.
Mm-hmm.
And the people I reach out to are therefore fulfilled and happy.
Yeah.
If I worry about the money, then nothing works.
Exactly.
I agree. Yes.
You know, now that's not true for everybody. For our listeners, you know, there's an entire group of people that have to have a goal and set that goal and aim for that goal and do the work necessary to make it come together. So I'm certainly not putting that process down. But I am saying that for many of us, particularly in the spiritual area, goals only with us, and if we have to stay focused on that which we love to do, and life, spiritual reality, or whatever you choose to call it, will bring in the next indicated steps. And I think, you know, that's critical for us to remember.
I agree.
Because we can't do what a lot of people do. We can't make this idea that we have control over everything. And I think sometimes also, if I may interject this, I think the readiness of the client determines when we get to work with them and how far we can work with them.
Absolutely. And a lot of times, you know, a client will come to me and say, oh, my God, I love our session. I want to gift a session to a friend of mine, right? And I always say, I'm not sure about that. I said, you can certainly... you know, have them check out my website and see if this is something that resonates with them, right? But when somebody says, you need to see Wendy because X, Y, and Z is what you need in your life, I'm always a little hesitant because I agree with you, the client has to be ready. I'm saying, I want to receive this help or shift.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I notice sometimes if somebody gives somebody a gift certificate, if they're not ready, they don't use it. Although sometimes I have very enthusiastic clients, sometimes I have to ask somebody they refer. You are here on your own free will, right?
Well, I don't know if you had this, but I had quite a challenge. This is a while back, but, you know, everything happens for a reason. It was something I had to, you know, go through. So this person was a gift certificate, and he says, I said, okay, so what's your experience with this? He goes, none. He goes, I don't know what Reiki is. I don't know what you do. And he goes, but I know it's something spiritual, and I really don't believe in anything. Right? I'm going, wow, okay.
That's great. A blank slate.
Yes.
Here's a blank slate. Let's see what we can do with this.
Exactly. So it's good. I see that as I always see things as a mutual exchange with any of my clients, right? There's always an exchange. I learn something from them and vice versa. So, yeah, but that was interesting. When that came to me.
Yeah, I'll bet. But it is a facer. You know, they come in and it's like, I don't know who you are and why you're here. And and you're like, wait a minute. Oh, dear. But then it always comes through and it works and it's great. But
exactly.
At first it's like, yo. It's like when I first started out, somebody said, prove yourself.
Get out.
Oh, I've had that too. I had somebody said, "What happened in 1998?" I go, okay, it's obvious that validation is something that's important. Let's delve right into that first. Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But, well, you know, that's true. And psychic ability is different in everybody. You know, I don't have the ability to tell you what you had for breakfast. But if you've forgotten already, you need different kind of professional help. But but I can really tell you why your life is stuck and what you can do to make it move forward under your terms.
Right.
But I'm not very good at what happened in 1972. I'm not sure I remember it.
I can barely remember yesterday.
Well, and speaking of the 70s, it's pretty hard to believe there's any reason to remember them at all, except the disco.
Disco, yes.
Yes.
Well,
but, you're a delightful lady, Wendy.
Yes,
Thank you. It was awesome talking to you both.
And Reiki Master, we can find out more information on ReikiHeals.com. That's your website, right?
Yes, it is.
All right.
Oh, wonderful.
ReikiHeals.com. Wendy, both Reiki Master and Intuitive. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you both. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, it was lovely. Thanks so much.
All right.
All righty. Bye.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Nice lady.
Yeah. I love, like, her spirit. Like, she really believes in helping and putting out the energy that she wants to come back. And that's one thing that, you know, I'm working on. Just put out good energy. Be happy.
Yeah, and the wonderful thing about that in my book is that it doesn't create an indebtedness in the person with whom you're working.
Mm.
They're free to have any reaction they want or be whatever they are because you're fulfilled by what you're doing.
Right, and we don't have the right to make anybody indebted to us.
Which, no. Which is why I charge money. No.
Exactly. Right. You're going to do this for me, but I'm going to be indebted to you, or you're going to feel that I'm indebted to you because you did this for me? No, that doesn't work.
Mm-mm. Not this week.
But there are all sorts of types of healers in the world or intuitives mm-hmm. that you're saying. And I didn't know anything about Reiki, and I find it fascinating.
Well, I think it's an amazing sort of energy transfer. I know a lot of Reiki masters, and some of them, when I've had challenges, have been willing to send Reiki. And it's been very helpful.
What did you feel?
Because I think that energy reinforces my own to the degree I'm willing to let it.
Right.
And I think people who get the idea that because it's spiritual, it should be free. and they certainly never got that from a church, I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how they think we eat.
But I think there's a shift going on to where, you know, the jobs and the way we do work is changing, and what people see as value or of value, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's very odd the way people view the metaphysical.
Yeah.
And I'm glad shows like ours maybe make it more accessible. More understandable, more comprehensible.
Yeah.
I hope so. Well, we could be confusing the issue, which is that's just fine. We certainly have a master's degree in confusion.
Right. Well, you know, because we're not perfect.
And we're intimately connected with confusion. But so what else is going on in your life, young girl?
Well, I know that I was talking about, like, career direction and wondering why I'm sitting at this desk and doing all this. And then I realized, oh, my God, I asked for this. I, like, asked for this, like, 6 months ago. And I got exactly what I asked for. And I was like, I went home and I told my husband, I was like, oh, my gosh, I love this.
Uh-huh. Yeah, isn't it amazing the way life will wrap around us if we allow it?
Yeah. I used to think that I would say some things like, oh, I wish I could have someone deliver me clothes. And then like the next day, someone would deliver me a bag of clothes or something. And I felt like I lost that sense. And then I'm like, well, I think it's come back again.
Well, certainly life direction comes back the way, seemingly out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And, well, it serves us well and hopefully serves others as well.
And speaking of life directions, we have Mr. Dwayne Perry on the line with us, actor, director, producer extraordinaire. Welcome to the show, Dwayne.
Hello, how are you?
We're great.
I'm great, welcome.
Thank you.
That's quite a resume.
well, she embellishes a little bit, I believe.
No, not our girl.
Let me first say, I listened to the show previously, and you had mentioned something about friends, and if you have to make too many excuses for them or to make exceptions for their behavior, then maybe they're not such a good friend to begin with, or maybe you shouldn't invest so much time. So I really appreciate that, because I was debating some things that day, and so it was like very timely. So I appreciate those thoughts.
Oh, thank you.
But personally, I guess the question that I have is, LaFern, like she embellished a little bit about my existence. I'm 53 years old, and I find myself questioning the purpose of it all right now. I mean, I've had some relative success, I guess, if, however you measure success. But the fulfillment factor at this point seems to have kind of gone away, which frightens me a little bit. But
what seems to have gone away? I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
The fulfillment factor has kind of gone away.
Oh, okay.
So it makes me question the purpose of things right now. The acting used to really provide me with some purpose, but that has kind of gone away a little bit. So you know, I'm just in a quandary. You know, how do you self motivate to get over that hump? Because yeah, I'm sure that everybody goes through this. It's, you know, just a stage of life, but maybe.
But it doesn't make it any different. I mean, it doesn't make it any less or more.
No, but I just kind of needed a little guidance, I guess.
Well, let me start out with something that I wanted to say a minute ago when you were initially speaking.
Yes.
Because you are unwilling to own the scope of what you've done, it's hard for you to truly feel the contribution you've made.
Mm.
And that's really the foundation of fulfillment. You're far too dimensional a person to be able to be amused along or fulfilled along by results.
Mm.
And you know, you've done a lot in your life, and you've touched the lives of a lot of people. Now, here's the problem I see. When you have somebody like you who has the presence that you have, which you can't feel because it's you, but you have the presence that you have, and you don't have the self-ownership, you have a tendency to draw users and certainly critics.
Yeah.
Because that presence is intimidating, and if they can knock you down, they will.
Wow.
Or use you.
Yeah.
And the reality is spirituality is about self-ownership. And the more you can own of what you've accomplished in the lives you've touched and the people you've helped and the people you've encouraged, that most people don't touch more than five people to whom they're not related in their entire lifetime. And you can do that in a day.
Right.
So unless you begin to own that, it's not ego, it's ownership.
Mm.
The more you appreciate you, the more you want to share you. Ego is the more you get complimented, the more you can hide the rot underneath. And I think that I think that if you want more out of your life now that you're maturing, I think the foundational piece of that is self-ownership. I would go back and do a journal on how many people whose lives you've touched, how much you've accomplished, how many things you've done.
Yeah.
How you got through a childhood of criticism and were willing to take risks, even when you were afraid of being called out for being wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, that's huge.
Yeah.
And I think as you own that more and more, and writing is the only way to do it, by the way, you can't do it in your head. And you can't do it on a keyboard. But I think if you just set up the journal, not to just sit down and write, but to write as things occur to you, to write as you see yourself do things, to write as you appreciate you, to write as something on the television set makes you cry because you realize that that's you and you haven't owned it.
Yeah.
And it'll change your whole life.
That's interesting that you brought up watching something on television and owning it and crying. That just happened. Like 3 days ago.
Bill, you must be psychic.
That's really something. Yeah.
Well,
I appreciate that. That's very, very, very helpful.
Yeah, please do, because you know, the more of you own, the more you're going to share. And the more you share, I mean, it's just amazing. You've run out of steam because you run out of self-appreciation.
Interesting. Yeah, I feel that sometimes I'm overly generous. So I guess that's a byproduct of not, like you said, not appreciating my gift enough.
That's And if you're over generous, it's often self-compensation, which is, you know, it's not helpful.
Yeah.
You're giving more than you need to so that you feel like you're giving something because you don't appreciate what you're giving.
Wow.
And you have so much to give, and if you don't own this, you're not replacing what you're putting out there.
Wow.
And you know, I think you have a lot about which to be proud.
Yeah.
And I would love to see you just do a little journal to start to own that. And you can go to your higher self and say, help me appreciate who I am and give me the willingness to use it.
Yeah.
You know, before you start the journal.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Bill. That's very, very helpful.
Glad. I hope so, because you have so much to give, and you've given so much.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it would be wonderful to have you see that.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I want to be recharged. So, because hopefully I have a lot more life to live. I don't want to be
right.
done yet.
The wonderful thing about self-appreciation is it allows you to say no.
Yeah.
I love that part. Say no.
Because if they're not giving you back what you're giving them, move on.
I'll keep that in mind. Thank you.
You bet. Thanks for calling. You're
Thanks
great.
Thanks for calling.
All right. Have a great day.
Thanks, Dwayne.
You
Bye.
As well. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Isn't that something? It's just self-appreciation. I think a lot of us are raised with, we have to be humble. We have to, you know, we can't put ourselves, you know, on a pedestal, even though you're not doing that. You're just accepting who you are, right?
Well, true. I think people who worry about being egotistical need to remember that people who are egotistical don't worry about it. They just are. You know, I think a lack of self-appreciation for spiritual people is the greatest enemy. Organizations that exist through control of others, no matter how much they return, want compliance and want cooperation, so they don't want you to think too much of yourself, or you might think too much. I'm just saying, it's a thought, you know.
Oh my God, I love you.
Well, you know, we've got to rabble rouse a little bit, or they'll think that we're compliant.
I know. Hey, I'm so non-compliant.
You know, I wasn't going to tell them that, but I'm glad you did.
Yes. Oh, my God, I love you.
Well, you're so
funny. Well, Bill, this...
What's going on here? Do we?
That's it. Yeah, well, that's...
Us being us?
Just us being us. Just another funny
thing. What a shock on our show.
And if we want more information about you, we can go to billburns.org or myself, theferncusack.com. It's always a pleasure, yeah. Bill.
Oh, it's a joy. And hopefully we've helped a few people. And if you're listening and you found us at all helpful or funny or amusing or pissed you off or whatever, let us know. Mm-hmm. We really would love it.
Yes, absolutely.
How do they let us know? Do we know?
Oh, they could shoot us an email at media@laferncusack.com.
Yeah. There's your name and lights. Oh, I love it. And we truly do love feedback because it helps us understand the things that are helpful for you, to you, for us to talk about.
Yes.
Because, you know, we hear enough of our own voice. We need direction. Need direction. Oh, God, do we need direction. So do write in and give us some help.
Yes. All right. Thanks All right. again for listening to our show featuring us.
Starring us.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.